Amen. Our reading will be taken from Philippians chapter number 4, starting at verse number 13. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. I want you to turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. They need your attention right now. They need your attention right now. And say, neighbor,
do
it.
Do it.
Neighbor,
do it.
Do it. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Do It. We have to know, in order for us to come to church this morning, you had to do some things. Amen?
Amen.
But I want you to take this journey with me for a few minutes. As we look at this journey, I want us to understand that there is an anchor in our midst. And that anchor is trying to grab a hold of you to keep you from moving forward. And it's an anchor that many of us have fallen prey to. Many of us have been startled by it, stopped by it, restricted because of it. And the anchor happens in our lives based on the words we speak. There's a word we say that causes the anchor to latch onto us. And the word is can't. We sometimes fall prey to the word can't. I can't go to Bible study. I can't go to Sunday school. Lord knows I can't tithe. I can't pray. I can't take time out to study. I can't be a part of your ministry. I can't see the church moving forward. I can't see how God is going to bless us. Anytime we get caught up with the word can't, we are finding ourselves latched to an anchor. Because when you say the word can't, what you are saying is that I will not move. Because when you say can't, what you're saying is that I will not do anything that's going to cause me to get into motion. Because when I say I can't, I am stabilizing where I am and I will not go any further. And when we allow can't to creep into the lives of the saints of God, then we find ourselves in a position that we aren't being fruitful. We aren't being the lights God is calling us to be. We aren't able to encourage the children that God has placed in our care. We are not able to even see ourselves beyond where we are because we just can't. Can't. Causes us to see limitations. Can't is what we do when we don't understand how it can change. Can't is the word that we use, and using that word can't, it will stop us from starting. We will stop before we get started because we say, I just. So we find ourselves, Reverend Rhodes, every time we say that word,
all right,
it hooks up to us again.
Yeah.
holds us where we are,
okay,
won't let us move forward, because you done already said you. And don't you know, what comes out of your mouth is power. If you speak negative, negative will happen. If you speak positive, positive will happen. Speak those things that are not as though they were, and God will bring it to pass. You've got to be able to see the good even in the midst of all the negativity. Even when it seems like all hell is breaking loose, you can't get caught up in where you are, but say, I serve a God. Who can make a difference? But we just get stuck on, I can't. But when I look at this scripture, in Philippians, the entire book of Philippians, Paul was truly in love with this church. It was a church that truly was thriving. It was a church that was caught up in the spirit of the living God. It's a church that recognizes that they have potential. They had responsibility. They were not going to shun it. They were not going to run from it. They were going to do the very best they could to be all they could in the name of Jesus. And then Paul talks to them in chapter 4 from verse 10. He talks about how he appreciates them remembering him, because they've always been good to him. And he knows for a moment that they just couldn't do something because other things happened. He recognizes that. But what Paul says is that, you know, I've learned how to do something. He said, I've learned how to be content when I have little. I've learned how to be content when I have a lot. I just learned that all I want to do is stay with Jesus. And as long as I stay with Jesus, I know I'm going to be all right. No matter how things might look to everybody on the outside, I've learned how to be content. You see, Sister Chavis, one of the things that God wants us to realize is that if all you focus on is what's going on around you, you will get caught up in the care. And the anchor will grab a hold of you. But you got to learn how to get past the camp and say, I can do. Now, I know we got limitations, y'all. I'm not, you know, avoiding that. Because as human beings, you know what? I know what limitation I know we all have. Go on over to any of the bridges by the James River. Jump off and start flapping your arms. I want you to know you ain't gonna fly.
All right.
Somebody gonna get there. We have to, yes, I understand. Limitations do exist.
Amen.
Because we are restricted on some things we can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And you know the other thing that messes with us? Mm-hmm. It's called Father Time. Brother Walter, remember back in the day how you could jump around and do all kinds of somersaults and splits and run here and run there?
All right.
Try some of that stuff now.
Yeah.
Might can still do a little bit of it.
No.
But that's okay.
All right.
What I'm talking about is when we look at things and let those things dominate our thoughts, rather than seeing it through the eyes of Christ and recognize that there are no limits in what our God can do and how our God can work. Paul says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know New Revised says him, but the him is Christ. So that's who he's talking about. But you know why we get caught up on camp, Mother Austin? We don't remember. We have help.
That's right.
It's through having the help that allows us to remove can't from our vocabulary. Because when you just focus on you, you can't. But Sister Jeanette, but when you put it in God's hands, you step out on faith and say, Lord, I believe you ain't bring me this far to turn back now, that you're going to take me all the way. Sister Williams, I know sometimes it might get a little rough, but you know you serve a God who will not leave you nor forsake you. Don't matter what the doctors might say, I serve a God who can still say yes when everybody else wants to tell me no. Paul is letting the church know then, and the church to know now. Young people, you got help. Temptations are all around you, wanting you to do all kinds of stuff. There was a time we could restrict a lot of stuff our kids got exposed to, because we had TVs that ain't had but a few channels. Now they got internet. They know how to work smartphones at the age of 3 and 4. They can find stuff on here that you didn't even know existed. There's a lot of stuff out there that the enemy has placed out there to try to sift them, to try to cut them off at the path, to try to knock them down before they could ever get up. So young people, you got to know. You have help. And if you don't take advantage of the help, just like if we don't take advantage of the help, then you will utilize that word. And that word is what? Can't. But Paul, you know, I really had to look at this. And I looked at this from the perspective of, why did Paul feel it necessary? Well, some theologians said, well, primarily the purpose of Paul saying that is that he has realized that even when he's hungry, if the Lord is with him, that the Lord is going to find a way of filling him, if nothing else, not physically, but maybe even spiritually. But even when he is in abundance, the Lord recognizes that, you know, was letting him know that the Lord is going to be with him, even through abundance of good times. So Paul realized that you don't go too high, nor do you go too low. You have to maintain balance. And that's what we have to do, y'all. We have to maintain balance. You see, if you got to wait for the sun to shine to get happy. I'm talking about the sun on the outside, the S-U-N. If you got to wait on the S-U-N to shine on you to be happy, if you got to wait for somebody to give you something to get happy, then your happiness and your joy is in the hands of something other than yourself. You see, it's all about God, but you have to make the conscious effort to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. You have to make the conscious effort to say that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. You have to make that conscious decision. It all falls in your lap. If somebody don't speak to you in the morning, that's going to just mess up your whole day. You just gave them power over how your day goes. If you allow somebody who owe you some money and they ain't pay you, and you spend the whole day just mumbling and mad about it, you letting them control. You see, what Paul here is saying, when he says, I can do all things, that pretty much should come after. But he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we have to understand the Christ. We have to understand what was the ministry of Jesus Christ really all about. The ministry of Jesus Christ was all about doing. Jesus was all about perpetual motion. He was always on the move, doing. Let me give you a couple examples. When the 5,000 plus followed him, and it was now getting late in the day, the Gospel of John says there was a boy who was around them, because Jesus said, "How? What are we going to feed them?" His disciples looked at him and said, "Jesus, what are you talking about, bro? We ain't got enough money to go buy food to feed all these folk. We can't." So there was a boy, in the Gospel of John's example of this in chapter 6, there was a boy among them who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Andrew said, "What is this among so many?" Jesus said, "Give it here." Jesus took it and broke it up, gave thanks to the Father for it, handed them all baskets, gave them 12 baskets. They fed the 5,000 plus and had 12 baskets of leftovers. What the Lord was showing them right then and there, when you put your trust in the Lord, there is no limit on how far God will take you, how much the Lord will do for you. The Lord is saying, do it. And don't you know that they had a camp? They really didn't want to walk around with those baskets because they felt that it was insufficient. Pris, they did not have enough, but God put more than enough in the baskets. And don't you know, nobody left there hungry. Everybody left there full. Some folk might have even got luitis. Are you working with me? Oh, but you still don't believe me. Let me take you to somewhere else. Martha and Mary sent word to Jesus. Jesus, your friend is sick. We need you to come see about your friend. And they felt that once Jesus got word that Lazarus was sick, don't you know, Charlene, that they expected Jesus to jump up and head on to him. Because they knew Jesus had the healing power. They knew he had the power to heal. They knew that as long as their brother had life, Jesus could improve his life. But what the Lord was wanting to do is show them that I ain't just got power over life. I got power over death. But they didn't know that. So when their brother died, they cried and they wrapped him in the cloth that you wrap the dead folk with, and they put him in the tomb. And he was there decomposing. And on the 4th day, Jesus came a knocking. And when Jesus came by, don't you know that Martha met him and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But then Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection. Do you believe who I am?" She said, "Lord, I understand that in the by and by we're going to all be together." He said, "I'm not talking about later. I'm talking about right now. You see, I am a doer. I'm about to do it. Can you believe it can happen right now?" And then, you know, she's like, yeah. Then Jesus said, "Roll the stone away." Then one of the sisters said, "Oh, Jesus, hold on now. He's already started to decompose. Once you move that stone away from the tomb, it's going to stink." So in all actuality, what were they telling Jesus? "Jesus, you can't do it." But then the Lord spoke, "Lazarus, come out." That which was dead, that which was decomposing, that which appeared to have no life, got life back in it, got up and walked out. Jesus said, "Take the stuff off." You see, you don't keep dead stuff on somebody that's alive. Dead stuff's got to go. Dead stuff's got to stay right where it is. You know, all the Lord was doing was showing the people that you can what? Do it. Stop saying, "I..." But then Jesus started talking. He said that if you tear down this temple, Ruby, he said in 3 days, he's going to rebuild it. Deacon Emma, folk looked at him and said, "This man done lost his mind. One, you can't rebuild the temple in 3 days. And you talking about yourself. Lord knows that once you've torn down, you ain't going to get back up." So the enemy said, "All right, I hear him talking that stuff." So what did he do? Jesus ended up being crucified. And once he was crucified, don't you know why he was on that cross? He took his last breath, Brother Ed. And once he took his last breath, they felt that they had him. So they wrapped him in the dead cloth. They laid him in the tomb. Yeah. Sister Gladys, they thought that it was all over for Jesus. The enemy said, uh-huh, let me see you rebuild this. Ain't nothing up in there. You might have spoke to others to get them up, but who going to speak to you to get you up? Yeah. What they didn't realize was that Jesus was able to take a life and also bring a life back. He didn't need nobody to pray for him because he was the Word made flesh. He was the Son of the living God. He had the power over everything here on this earth. Through the words the Father spoke, he acted on the words and he did everything that we see here on this earth, which lets us know there is no restrictions on what our God can do. So don't you know he stayed in that tomb all night Friday, all day Saturday and Saturday night. But early on Sunday morning, don't you know that we serve a God who is in perpetual motion? Don't you know Jesus did it? Jesus got up out that grave with all power in his hand. So we serve a God who does not operate in can't, but he operates in do. Perpetual motion. So when he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he was looking at what Jesus had done. But then you know what he did? He looked in the mirror. You see, because Paul wasn't always praising the Lord.
All right. No, he wasn't.
He started out being a persecutor of the Lord. He did all he could to shut all those folk up who were going the way.
Yeah.
And he got so big and bad, he went to the high priest and said, give me a letter. I got to go over to Damascus.
All right.
And if I find any of them there of the way, I'm also going to persecute them, kill them, and lock them up as well.
Right.
So while he was on his way, on the road to Damascus, don't you know the Lord knocked him off his high horse, blinded him and said, why, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? What are you doing to me? And once he was blinded, don't you know they took Paul, y'all, to Straight Street? Oh, somebody going to get that. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. They took him to Straight Street. Go look at Acts chapter number 9. They took him to Straight Street. You know, the significance is that the road he was on was not a straight road. He was on a road that was going in all kinds of directions. He was going in on the roads that were not leading to Christ. And the Lord had to put him on Straight Street, which is the Lord, which is the road that leads to the Lord. And I thank God that all of us were just like Paul. We all have been on all kinds of crooked roads. We all went in all kinds of directions. But I thank God that he put all of us on Straight Street. That's why we're in church today, because the Lord put us on Straight Street. That's why we can praise him today, because the Lord put us on Straight Street. That's why we can say hallelujah today, because the Lord put us on Straight Street. I know our lives were messed up, but I thank God that he put us on what street? I tell you, the Lord will do it. And Paul looked at himself. And guess what? Brother could not see. He was blind for 3 days. And through his blindness, his physical blindness, God was showing him the spiritual blindness that was going on in his life. And through that spiritual blindness, he started to pray and confess his sins and tell the Lord what he's done wrong. And Lord, I need your help. And then the Lord showed him in a vision while he was praying that a man called Ananias was going to come and pray for him. And like scales was going to fall off his eyes and he would be able to see again. When the Lord showed him that vision, then he went over to Ananias and said, Ananias, I got a job for you. I need you to go over to Straight Street. And I need you to go and pray for Saul. And when you pray for Saul, don't you know the scales are going to fall off his eyes and the brother going to be able to see. But then all of a sudden, Ananias said, wait a minute. Hold up, Lord.
All right.
You're talking about that same Saul that came from Jerusalem. That Saul that wants to kill as many Christians as he can. That same Saul that was persecuting and throwing folk in prison in Jerusalem. That's the same Saul you want me to go pray for right now? So in all actuality, you know what Ananias was saying? Lord, I can't do it.
Okay.
So, Lord, you must have missed this one. You must have missed the memo on this one. Yeah. I want you to know that you don't really know who he is, but the Lord said, I got a great work for him. I want him to know what he is going to do, and I'm going to use him in a mighty fashion.
Yeah.
He says, so Ananias, I need you to what? Do it. And what did Ananias do? He went over the straight street, and when he saw Saul, he said, brother Saul.
Yeah.
He prayed for him. The scales fell from his eyes.
Yeah.
The brother could see. And I want you to know that he really was able to see at this point, because he was no longer in the dark. He was now in the what? Light.
Right.
And now that he was in the light, he was going to operate as a child in the light.
Yeah.
He was going to proclaim the word to whomever he came across.
Man.
He wanted folk to know that, yes, I once was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. You see, I want you to know, Paul realized that I can do it. I can do it all because I gave my life to Christ.
Yeah.
I let the Lord become the head of my life. I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Yeah.
And look at what the Lord has done with me.
Yeah.
And you know what? The same thing is true about us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Can I share something with you? It's time for us to take off our seatbelts.
Well, come on now.
I know you're wondering where I'm going. Can I come down here to you and finish the story down here? You see, because there was a time in our lives. Tony, I know we're holy right now.
Well,
so we ain't going to act like, you know, we ain't going to talk about what it was. But remember back in the day,
come on now.
We used to get so tipsy. And when we got tipsy, you know what we still did?
Come on,
we would get behind the wheels of our car.
Yeah.
And you know what we didn't do? We ain't bothered with no seatbelt.
Right.
We just turned the car on, found out, drove ourselves home.
Yeah.
Some of us fell asleep in the driveway, woke up and scared ourselves. Couldn't figure out how we got here. You see, we were living our lives loose and carefree.
Yeah, yeah.
But how is it that now that we're in the church, Brother Simpson, we now want to come in church and put a seatbelt on us and sit here like I'm supposed to be quiet and act like God ain't done nothing for me.
Yeah.
I ain't supposed to live a life that's carefree. Thankful and happy about who God is. I'm supposed to come here, sit in my chair with my seatbelt on, worried about I can't get up. I really ain't supposed to be here. The way I used to live my life, Lord, I'm going to just so glad I'm in the house. So I'm going to keep my seatbelt on, and I'm going to just go along for the ride. But I'm here to tell you, the devil is a liar. I'm going to take off my seatbelt. I'm going to do what God is calling me to do. He brought me too far for me to turn back now. I'm going to take off my seatbelt. So I just say right now, unclick it, y'all. Go on and praise God. You can do it, because our God is a mighty good God. He is a way maker. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is my strength. He is my all in all. I'm standing here all because of the grace and mercy of God. Do I got a witness in God's house? Can you do it? Can you thank him? Can you praise him? Can you magnify him? Oh, we serve a good God. Somebody ought to say, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
BRBC. The thing that stops us from putting our foot to the pedal is nobody but us. Well, I just can't. What if the Lord said he couldn't use us? What if the Lord said, I can't bless you? The difference between can't and do. Can't immobilizes, because it automatically connects you to an anchor. You can't go nowhere. Do says I'm in action. I'm in perpetual motion because I serve a God of action. So now that I am with the Lord, before I was with the Lord, I wouldn't put a seatbelt on. But now that I'm with the Lord, I got to wear the seatbelt all the time. That's the time to take it off. The only boundaries that exist are the boundaries we create. God did not create any boundaries for us. God never put a limit on how far we can go. God didn't say that we have to stop here. The Lord says that we walk by what? And not by what? And if you walk in by faith, did it ever say what that he's ever going to stop? That it's ever going to restrict? That it's going to put some boundaries? No. We have to continue to move forward. We ought to be a people of perpetual motion. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who what? Left under your own strength, you ain't going to go but so far. You might buy vitamins from GNC. You might buy your vitamins from Walmart. You might try to eat healthy. You might try to do like I do, put a whole bunch of vegetables in a blender in the morning, put a banana in it and zip it up and feel that's going to do it. Yeah, it gives me some energy. But you know what, Reverend Sister Rose? It only lasts for a little while. Right. But I want you to understand that the strength that we get from the Lord, I want you to know it don't ever run out. It don't ever restrict us. It allows us to go further. It allows us to go forward. Sister Faith, when you put your trust in the Lord, I'm telling you, there's nothing our God can't do with us. You are got a witness in God's house. How many folks want to do it? How many folks are going to do it? God wants us to be doers. You got to do it. Hallelujah. Knowing that you can, get rid of can't. Now, what I ain't telling you is when you leave here and you get in your car, you better put your seatbelt on. Because I don't want you saying, I was just at church and my pastor said, I ain't got to wear no seatbelt. And then you know, the cop going to tell you as you write that ticket, well, you give this ticket to your pastor, but I'm giving it to you. I'm talking spiritually now. Now, when we was out there being all carefree, we ain't care about nothing. But now it's time for us to truly be spiritually carefree from the perspective of that. I ain't got to care about nothing because I know the Lord's going to take care of everything. Amen. Don't you know that when we read in Matthew chapter 6, he tells us be anxious for nothing. Put your trust in the Lord. When you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all things shall be added unto you. Because if you burden yourself down with caring about everything, don't you realize that you'll find yourself in a situation like the can't, you just become restricted.
All right.
God has set us free. And whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. So are you going to live a life of freedom or are you going to live a life of being shut down? Which means that when you put your trust in God, guess what? You can do it.
Amen.
When you put your trust in God, there are no limits on what God will do.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's why Paul didn't say a couple of things, Deacon Elwood. Mm-hmm. He didn't say a few things, Sister Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, he didn't just say most things. Mm-hmm. Sister Freeman, he said all. So you know what that's telling you? Why haven't you been getting involved? It's time for you to do it. We all have things going on. Well, you know, I would come to Bible study on Wednesday, but I ain't got a DVR, and you know, my show Empire, come on. Where Empire gonna be when you need some healing? You gonna pray to Empire? I can't come to midday Bible study. You see, y'all started a good time, but my stories come on at 12. I don't want to pay that extra money for that DVR. So I got to be home to watch it. You follow me?
Amen.
Or it could be, you know, I work. I don't get off till 6:30. And Bible study started at 7:30. And I got to get a chance to get some dinner. Bring your food with you.
Mm. All right.
You can't? Why can't you?
Yeah.
Mother Austin up here having a good time with y'all. But listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm telling you. Can't, in so many ways, plays in for us making an excuse for something else. So what we want to do is to remove the excuse. Because can't needs to go.
All right.
God wants his people to be doers.
Amen.
Do it. If Amen. You do it, you will see what God is able to bring you through.
Amen.
Only restrictions we deal with, you know where they start at? Mm-hmm. With us. The only boundaries we deal with are the boundaries we create.
Amen.
God doesn't create the boundaries.
All right.
God creates the opportunities. So what do we have to do, y'all? Do it.
Yeah.
Get rid of what word?
Can't.
And we ought to what?
Do it.
Get rid of what?
Can't.
And we ought to what?
Do it.
Get rid of what?
Can't.
We ought to what?
Do it.
Get rid of what?
Can't.
And we ought to what?
Do it.
Amen.
It's for all of us. From me to you. And from you to me. We got to do it.
Yeah.
Mike, does it get hard sometimes?
Amen.
Lord, yes.
Yes, it does.
Do you sometimes feel that you're so discouraged you just want to fall to your knees and just give up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Do it sometimes brings tears to your eyes?
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Does it sometimes just hurt you all the way to the depths of your soul?
Yes, Lord.
Yes. But you still have to what?
Do it.
You want to experience healing? Do it. You want to see what the strength of God really is all about?
Do it.
Do it. I'm going to share this and I'm going to shut it down. The hardest sermon I ever preached was my father's home going.
Amen.
When my father, I was with my father when the Lord took him home. I saw his chest go up. I saw it come down. And that was it. And I said, I'm going to do my father's home going. Told his wife, my stepmother, I said, I'm going to do it. And I was studied and did everything I needed to do. But when I got to St. Paul's Baptist Church up in Montclair, when I hit those steps and I walked up, it was like, Sister Penn, somebody dropped a ton of me on me, a ton of bricks on me. And then the brother just started crying. Got up to my pastor's office and knocked on the door. And I opened the door and I said, Pastor, I can't do it. He grabbed me by the hand, sat me down in the chair. And I figured he gonna talk to me. And then he left. He left me, but he needed to, because he didn't have the answer. You know who does? I had no choice but to begin to pray. I said, Lord, I can't do this. This is too much for me. But you know what God did? It was like somebody just breathed a nice, cool breath on me. And then all of a sudden, I felt peace. And you know what he said? And you know what I was preaching that day? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path.
Amen.
God preached that to me before I even stood up in that pulpit to preach my father's own homegoing.
Yeah.
He had gave me the scripture to get me through, which lets me know I could do it. Lord knows, was it easy? Marcus wasn't nothing easy about it. But God had me. So I was able to do it. Now I know God might not called you to be a pastor, or you might have to do a family member's home going or a parent's home going. But I tell you, what God taught me through that experience is you can do it. Stop selling yourself short.
All right.
You might not have all the education. So what? You might not be as articulate as some folks. So what? You might live in a place you might not want. So what? Trust in God. You can do it. You will get through it. Because we can do all things through what? Who what?